RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener of Voice of Indonesia, here is the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed pilgrims must be vaccinated to avoid MERS. Moody's maintains stable outlook Indonesian banking system. Australia tapping into number growing for Indonesian travelers. Now, the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, pilgrims must be vaccinated to avoid MERS. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said on Friday that Hajj pilgrim bound for Saudi Arabia should be vaccinated against Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus or MERS-CoV before departing. He also warned pilgrims against making contact with camels. So far, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said no MERS cases have been recorded in Indonesia, but the government must take precautions against the disease ahead of the Hajj season. Earlier, Health Minister Nila F. Muluk urged would-be pilgrims to have medical check-ups before traveling to Saudi Arabia. Recently, President Joko Widodo has held a limited cabinet meeting to discuss the efforts to prevent MERS from reaching Indonesia. Moody's maintains stable outlook for Indonesian banking system. The rating outlook of Indonesia's banking system remains stable, reflecting an expectation that the country's bank will withstand a challenging operating environment due to their strong buffers. This was reported by a global rating agency, Moody's Investors Service. Moody's Vice President and Senior Credit Officer, Srikanth Fadlamani, said non-performing loans will likely rise given slowing economic growth. Nonetheless, the banks are well-positioned to withstand any deterioration in asset quality and will maintain strong capital levels. In particular, he said, Indonesian banks have strong buffers in terms of high profitability and capital. Moreover, both corporate and household balance sheets remain healthy. Moody's conclusions were contained in its just-released Banking System Outlook Indonesia, which expresses Moody's view of how bank credit worthiness will evolve in the system over the next 12 to 18 months. The report looks at the banking system in the five categories of operating environment, asset quality and capital, funding and liquidity, profitability and efficiency, and system support. Australia tapping into number growing of Indonesian travelers. Australian Tourism Office is preparing for a more intense partnership with Indonesian industry players, particularly in air travel and tourism agencies, in an attempt to tap into Indonesia's growing number of outbound travelers. The Managing Director of Tourism Australia, John O'Sullivan, said that his office was working closely with Indonesia's national carrier, PT Garuda Indonesia, on various partnerships, including the offering of travel packages, which would encourage more Indonesians to come to Australia. The number of Indonesian visitors to Australia has been increasing in the last few years, although the total numbers traveling there remained low compared to the other Asian destinations. About 7 million international visitors went to Australia last year. Of those, the number of Indonesian visitors was 150,200 people, a 6.2% increase on figures recorded in 2013. The figure also placed Indonesia as the 12th largest inbound market for visitor arrivals to Australia. Further increase is expected for this year's total following a significant rise in Indonesian visitors early in the year. higher non-taxable threshold to spur growth. A plan to raise the threshold of non-taxable income for the individual taxpayers is set to help boost the public's purchasing power that will eventually drive up economic growth by 0.1%. This was stated by the Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro. He pointed out that starting next month, individuals with annual incomes of 36 million rupiah or around $2,700 or 3 million rupiahs per month will be exempted from paying income tax. The threshold is an increase from the 24.3 million rupiahs annual income threshold set in 2012, after which the government slapped a 20% income tax on the lowest bracket. Minister Bambang said on Friday, amid sluggish economic growth that has seen sales of motorcycles and cars plunge by double digits in the first 5 months of the year, the easing of taxable income is expected to help spur demand for more goods in a country that depends heavily on consumption to drive the economy. Indonesia recorded a lackluster 4.7% growth in the first quarter, the lowest in 6 years, with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank recently slashing their estimate about the growth to 4.7% for 2015. Government involved more banks in its People's Credit Scheme. The government of Indonesia has again revamped its People's Business Credit or KUR scheme by allowing more lenders to take part in it in a bid to increase the number of recipients across the country. The revamp was made on Friday at a meeting that also agreed to slash the interest rate to 12% from 21% for all KUR types. The meeting was attended by Coordinating Economic Minister Sofian Jalil, State-Owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, representative of several state lenders and other government officials. During the meeting, the government decided to include state, private, and regional development lenders for the credit program that is scheduled for launch on July the 1st. A new KUR type was launched in addition to the existing micro and retail KUR. The new type is called KUR TKI and is specifically for the migrant workers. The total amount of loans to be disbursed this year has been set at 30 trillion rupiahs or around $2.25 billion. The list of participating lenders now comprises state-owned Bank Rakyat Indonesia or BRI, Bank Mandiri, Bank Negara Indonesia or BNI, private owned Bank International Indonesia or BII and Bank Sinarmas and 6 regional development banks or BPDs. OJK to watch dozens of financial conglomerates. Indonesian Financial Services Authority or OJK expressed its commitment to watch 50 financial conglomerates controlling 5142 trillion rupiah or around $395.5 billion worth of assets that account for 70.5% of the total assets in the financial industry. OJK Commissioner for Banking Supervision Nelson Tampu Bolon said that a group of conglomerates consists of 33 financial conglomerates, each owning 2 to 3 companies. He added that there were 12 financial conglomerates. Each controls 4 to 8 companies. Nelson revealed at OJK's office on Friday, there are also 5 conglomerates with more than 8 companies. The financial services industry controlled 7,289 trillion rupiahs or around $560.7 billion worth of assets. With such a great portion owned by the financial conglomerates, Nelson said that OJK would consistently and effectively prepare for the supervision infrastructures. Earlier, OJK released a regulation number 17/POJK.03/2014 stipulating that conglomerates in Indonesia are required to submit reports related to the financial service holding companies and their members. Clean and healthy lifestyle and knowing preventive efforts can prevent Indonesia people from being infected by MERS-CoV. Indonesian people are expected to keep being alert against the spread of MERS-CoV or Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus. President Director of Sulianti Saroso Infectious Disease Hospital, Fatmawati, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta said that Indonesian people should know the symptoms of the acute respiratory disease and all forms of prevention to avoid the virus that has claimed many lives abroad. Fatmawati also said Indonesia is potentially infected by MERS-CoV because many Indonesian people become migrant workers abroad and a lot of Indonesian people perform umroh and hajj pilgrimages every year. To anticipate the MERS-CoV, Sudianti Saroso Hospital provides facilities such as isolation and personal protective equipment. Fatmawati hopes. Indonesian government does optimal checks to the people who have just arrived from abroad at the airports or seaports, which become the entrance gate to Indonesia. However, in principle, according to Fatmawati, to prevent MERS-CoV, Indonesian people should have clean and healthy living. Indonesian government prepares various efforts to prevent the spread of MERS in Indonesia. Director General of Disease Control and Environmental Health of the Ministry of Health, Muhammad Subuh, ensures Middle East Respiratory Syndrome Coronavirus, or MERS-CoV, has not entered Indonesia. To NRA World Service Voice of Indonesia on Friday, June 26, 2015, Subuh said that Indonesia is a country that is very risky to MERS, but since 2012 until now, there have not been any cases. Even though there have been no positive findings on MERS-CoV in Indonesia, the Ministry of Health is still doing maximum anticipatory steps. Subuh further said, Indonesia is at the high risk of contracting MERS-CoV due to the high number of Indonesian citizens going to Saudi Arabia for Umrah, pilgrimage, or becoming Indonesian migrant workers. The efforts have been made, such as by installing thermoscanners at 13 airports in Indonesia and by providing socialization on MERS-CoV prevention. And listeners, that's the newsline from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Donald Pane. We begin with Kompas newspaper. The newspaper, in its editorial, writes quality economic growth. National economic growth figures did not meet the target, but it will be compensated if the government can maintain its quality. Economic growth in the first quarter of 2015 was only 4.7%, below the 5.7% target. The economic growth this year is predicted only 5 to 5.4%, while in 2016, the government expects a growth of 5.5 to 6%, below the initial target of 5.8 to 6.2%. Minister for National Development and Planning, head of Bappenas, Adriano Chaniago, recognized the change in the nomenclature causes ministries and government agencies take almost 6 months to fix the organizational structure. Outside factors are the weakening economy in China and Europe, while the United States economy has not shown enough improvement. According to Kompas, talking about the quality of economic growth, the government needs to more clearly define the focus and strategy achievement. This newspaper has not heard, for example, whether the industrialization will focus on four main sectors, such as fisheries, food, and countryside, better planned and coordinated to create jobs and leveling development. Likewise, concrete measures for improvement of the national logistics system improve the competitiveness of Indonesia. The impression that the government is working partially and even spawned a class policy is still felt. In fact, according to Kompas, when the economy swings, needs consolidation and focus on the target. The weakening of economy should not be caused by perception, but the real condition. Republika Daily newspaper writes in its editorial, Aspiration Fund, meaningless. The idea of some representatives in the form of Regional Election Development Program or Aspiration Fund is proper to be appreciated. The idea is a desire for a funding worth 20 billion rupees for each member of the House of Representatives per year, the total value of 11 trillion rupees each year. The funds will be allocated for development programs in their respective constituencies. According to Republika, on behalf of the state budgetary discipline, this budget allocation for development cannot be done with the aspiration fund models. Strengthening oversight on development spending that currently run by the government is far more important than create a new channel for the funds. Strengthening the development goals at the service of society and improvement of the life also a matter of urgency to run. Republika writes, the development program which has been much project-oriented must be ended. Spirit of absorption that are not accompanied by social welfare programs also do not need to be forwarded. Improvement and completion are essential to run so that the budget channel properly. Making a new channel for development budget allocation through the exploration fund is an appropriately forwarded. We end with Media Indonesia. The newspaper, in its editorial, writes, reshuffle cabinet, generate market. Evaluation should be a necessity in modern organizations. Moreover, when it is an evaluation of the labor cabinet ministers, it is no longer considered a necessity. Various interpretations are evolving. One is, the evaluation will lead to the reshuffle of cabinet minister. President Joko Widodo, in the middle of this month, to evaluate the performance of 6 months of cabinet ministers' working performance. The ministers were required to submit reports on realization of the program beginning from November 2014 to April 2015. It is not only that the minister is asked to plan a program of 6 months from May 2015 to October 2015. So far, Joko Widodo has not officially disclosed the results of evaluations that have been done. However, from various reports and observation during this time, the president acknowledged that there are ministers whose performance is still poor. The president's recognition is interpreted by the public that the cabinet reshuffle is a matter of time. However, the president has still reminded all parties not to interfere with the performance of the cabinet by throwing the issue of reshuffle. The reshuffle of ministers is something usual, very usual, in the government. Reshuffle or not to reshuffle, the cabinet is the prerogative of the president, according to Media Indonesia. Indeed, reshuffle the cabinet acceptable to the market is not easy. That's where the challenge of leadership. For market, the reshuffle is a psychological solution that will revive confidence. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listeners, meet again with me, Mariati, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on June 27, 1936, when Haile Selassie first condemned the use of chemical weapons by Italy. Haile Selassie first was Ethiopia's regent from 1916 to 1930 and emperor of Ethiopia from 1930 to 1974. He was a member of the Ptolemaic dynasty. At the League of Nations in 1936, the emperor condemned the use of chemical weapons by Italy against his people during the Second Italo-Ethiopian War. His internationalist views led to Ethiopia's becoming a charter member of the United Nations, and his political thoughts and experience in promoting multilateralism and collective security have proved seminal and enduring. His suppression of rebellions among the landed aristocracy, which consistently opposed his reforms, as well as what some critics perceive to be Ethiopia's failure to modernize rapidly enough, earned him criticism among some contemporaries and historians. His regime was also criticized by human rights groups such as Human Rights Watch as autocratic and illiberal. The next event was in 1947, when General Sudirman was installed to become the first commander of the Indonesian National Armed Forces. After proclamation on October 5, 1945, the Indonesian government, which has just formed People's Security Corps, then to change to be People's Security Army in 1946 and change with the name Republic of Indonesia Army. In the Independence War, besides Republic of Indonesia Army, there were many guerrilla troops who joined the war. Because of that, to make the struggle solid. So on May 5th, 1947, President Sukarno issued the decision to unite the troops of Republic of Indonesia with other armed forces to become the Indonesian National Armed Forces, and installed General Sudirman to become commander on June 27, 1947. And the last event was 1954, when Soviet Union became the first country which used nuclear power plants. Soviet Union was the first country which used nuclear power plants for energy by opening electricity power plants in Obninsk. 2 years later, nuclear power plants was built and operated with different function in Britain, while in France, the center of nuclear operation was exploited and began to produce in Hinant in 1963. Model of and production costs increased, becoming expensive in 1970s until 1980s. Finally, Chernobyl disaster in 1986 has made human to rethink using nuclear as power plants. That was today in history.
Today in history,
a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on President agrees foreigners may have property in Indonesia. I'm Dalot Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo would allow foreign nationals to own property in Indonesia. In the near future, Jokowi will revise Government Regulation No. 41 of 1996 on housing or residential ownership by foreigners live in Indonesia. This was said by the President's communication teams, Teten Mas Duki, after accompanying President Jokowi in a meeting with the Central Board of Real Estate Indonesia at the State Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon. According to Teten, President Jokowi approved the proposal to allow foreign ownership in the property. The president agrees as long as the purchasing access is given first to the Indonesian citizens. Teten explained the reason why President Jokowi allows expatriates to own property in Indonesia is in facing the property competition at the regional level. The discourse granting permission to foreigners to own property had previously been voiced by Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro. However, the value of property that can be owned by foreigners will be limited to a certain range. Bambang asserted only in the category of luxury apartments that can be bought by foreigners. It is only apartments worth more than 5 billion rupiahs which can be owned by foreign nationals. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, fully supports the government's plan to allow foreign nationals to own property in Indonesia. However, he suggested the ownership of the property is only in the special economic zone territory that has been set for the area of tourism in order to encourage investment in the region. The special economic zone is built with the aim to stimulate the economy in a region. While an economic observer, Martin Pangabean, assessed the government's plan reviewing the property ownerships for foreigners will make prices soar, since foreigners have high purchasing power. He gave an example. The actual price of a property is 2 billion rupiahs, is likely to be sold to around 5 billion rupiahs if foreigners are allowed to own property, Martin told Tempo on Wednesday. Martin predicts the soaring price will create a property bubble. Under these conditions, according to him, it will worsen if the market is an investor or speculator. If Indonesia were affected by the bubble in the property and banking sectors, the economy will not improve. Meanwhile, a financial analyst, Hans Kui, also said the opening of Indonesian property market to foreigners would cause the bubble to burst sooner. The increase in property prices will be faster than the rise in purchasing power, Hans said. Well, listener, that was today's focus. Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published in Jakarta today, Saturday, June 27, 2015. I'm Dalat Pane. Kompas newspaper in its headline writes, Virtue value turns to degrees. The virtue of the nation's values, namely consultation, mutual cooperation, and tolerance, felt increasingly deteriorated due to the lack of a light. In fact, the values are strong capital for the nation to face various problems in the midst of intense global competition. The view was summed up in an interview conducted by Kompas with a number of cross-generation leaders, including the scholar of Tebu Ireng Boarding School, Jombang, East Java, Salahuddin Wahid, head of the National Search Agency Basarnas, Marshal TNI F.H. Bambang Sulistio, a film director, Gari Nugroho, and also Minister of Social Affairs, Kofifa Indar Parawansa. They say that the values that can be practiced also require a strategy or method to describe an abstract value that an indicator that concrete and measurable. Without concrete indicators, the implementation of a value cannot be evaluated, whether it is successful or not. While to develop the noble values of the nation, such as mutual cooperation, tolerance, and deliberation, according to the Minister of Social Affairs, Kofifa, all components of the nation should intensify intercultural dialogue forum, customs, and religion in a sustainable manner. Republika newspaper in its headline writes, Drugs emergency is ignored. National Narcotics Agency, BNN, recalled that Indonesia was in a state of drugs emergency. Unfortunately, people still consider the usual problems associated with the distribution and use of drugs. BNN had General Commissioner Anang Iskandar during a speech in the International Anti-Drugs Day at the State Palace on Friday, say, the state of emergency on drugs is a threat that is still underestimated by some people. Anang explained, the problem of drugs in Indonesia, which has been chronic, can be seen from the number of abusers of the prohibited items, which reach more than 4 million inhabitants or people. They are not only adults, but also teenagers and children. We end the headlines with Business Indonesia. The newspaper writes, minimum capital is determined in September. Minimum capital requirements for financial group conglomeration by the Financial Service Authority, FSA, will take effect in September this year. Executive Head of Banking Supervision of FSA, Nelson Tampubolon, explained, the provision is to anticipate potential systematic risks that is predicted to increase in the long term as the increase in the share of subsidiary to the parent. Currently, Nelson said, exposure subsidiary to the parent financial group is still limited. However, the development of non-bank financial industry is increasingly stretched, potentially increasing significantly contributed to the parent. Well, listener, that was today's headlines of newspaper over at RRI World Service in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Here is news in brief. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said on Friday that Hajj pilgrims bound for Saudi Arabia should be vaccinated against Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, coronavirus, or MERS-CoV before departing. The rating outlook of Indonesia's banking system remains stable, reflecting an expectation that the country's banks will withstand a challenging operating environment due to their strong buffers. Australian Tourism Office is preparing for a more intense partnership with Indonesian industry players, particularly in air travel and tourism agencies, in an attempt to tap into Indonesia's growing number of outbound travelers. The government of Indonesia has again revamped its People's Business Credit Worker Scheme by allowing more lenders to take part in a bid to increase the number of recipients across the country. A plan to raise the threshold of non-taxable income for individual taxpayers is set to help boost the public's purchasing power that will eventually drive up the economic growth by 0.1%. Indonesian Financial Services Authority, or OJK, expressed its commitment to watch 50 financial conglomerates controlling 5,142 trillion rupiah, or around $395.5 billion worth of assets that account for 70.5% of the total assets in the financial industry. Indonesian people are expected to keep being alert against the spread of MERS-CoV or the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus. Director General of Disease Control and Environmental Health of the Ministry of Health, Associate Muhammad Subuh, ensures the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus or MERS-CoV has not entered Indonesia. That's news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com. Before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it's a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Semarang in Sarawak province to enjoy Semarang in colorful lamps. So stay tuned. Listener, if you visit Semarang City in Sarawak province, please stop by at Gardu Pandang Gombel or Tabanas Park. Semarang people call this area Tabanas Park. The park is called Tabanas because there is Tabanas Monument at the park. On certain nights, such as Saturday night and holiday, this area is always crowded, especially by young people who come to relax, chat, or make jokes while enjoying the fresh air. In Ramadan, many people come to the park to wait for the time to break the fast. Because the park is located on one of the slopes of Gombel Hill,
People prefer to call the place with Gardu Pandang Gombel. Listener, the best time to enjoy the beauty of Semarang City from the highland is in the evening until night. To see the lamps at night is an enjoyment. It's so romantic. Besides that, before the night comes, golden sunlight in the evening illuminates all corners of the city. And on sunny day, you can enjoy the sparkling stars on the sky. At Gardu Pandang Gombel, while enjoying the colorful lamps, you can also order a cup of coffee or tea, as well as roasted corn from the vendors around the park. If you want romantic moments near Tabanas Monument, there are some cafes and restaurants which can be chosen as the location for your dinner. Listener, to enter Gardu Pandang Gombel is free of charge, but please don't underestimate it, because the beauty of Semarang City at night is incomparable with other big cities. Moreover, this area has fresh air. You can also see residents' houses, buildings, factories, as well as chimneys of the ships at Tanjung Emas Seaport. Listener, to go to Gardu Pandang Gombel is not quite difficult. If you are from the center of Semarang, you just follow the street to Banyumanik. After arriving in Banyumanik, go straight to Simpang Lima. Around 5 minutes from supermarket, you go down and around this area on the right, there is Gardu Pandang Gombel. Listener, are you interested in seeing Semarang view from Gardu Pandang Gombel? Please set your time to come to Semarang, Sarawak Java Province. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll be discussing Rafflesia Land Festival. The land of Rafflesia or Rafflesia land is the nickname of Bengkulu province because Bengkulu is a large growing area of the famous and rare Rafflesia arnoldi giant flower. Since the discovery of this flower in 1818, in fact Kalimantan was the first region in Indonesia where a lot of Rafflesia arnoldi flowers were found. Yet somehow, as time goes by, the giant flower has disappeared from the island. Later, some Rafflesia arnoldi flowers were discovered in Bengkulu region, Sumatra. This is the cause why Bengkulu then got the title as Bumi Rafflesia or the Land of Rafflesia. The flower, which has a pretty name and indeed looks nice too, actually doesn't have nice smell. In fact, it smells so bad that local people call it bunga bangkai or corpse flower. Some Rafflesia flowers, which somewhat considered as rare, are growing well in Bengkulu. Until finally, the local government began to hold a festival with the name Festival Bumi Rafflesia or Rafflesia Land Festival. It includes a variety of programs and activities that present the best potential of Bengkulu. The program that has been going on since 2013 is expected to attract tourists to enjoy the charm of nature, culture, and culinary of Bengkulu. This event is especially attractive for those who like nature adventure. There are a number of ecotourism destinations such as Rafflesia flower and Sumatran elephant's habitat in Bengkulu. Blossoming Rafflesia flower is of course a tourist attraction in Bengkulu, for it doesn't happen every day. Although the theme is Rafflesia flower, the festival offers all tourism potentials in the province. It has also been included in the agenda of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism annual activities. In 2015, the Rafflesia Land Festival will be held in August with the background of the historical fact about the world's largest flower, Rafflesia arnoldii, first discovered in Bengkulu. During the Rafflesia Land Festival, a variety of activities will take place to enliven it. Head of Tourism and Culture of Bengkulu Province, Rudy Perdana, said that there is no target number of visitors, but he hopes this event can introduce Bengkulu potential tourism. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which informed you about Rafflesia Land Festival. Until tomorrow with another topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Steve, in the Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to the Indonesian original music, either traditional or the modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Stavan Band, which comes from Duri City, Riau Province. The band, which was established in 2005, Stavan Band consists of Ringo, the vocalist, Edo, the guitarist, Karit, the bassist, Rio, the drummer, and Eric, the pianist. Listener, let's listen to a song entitled Jangan Sesali or Don't Regret from Stefan Band.
Jalan hidup telah membuat kita harus mengerti akan takdir ini. Tak perlu kau menyesali yang telah terjadi.
Boy listener, you have just listened to a song from Stefan Band entitled Jangan Sesali or Don't Regret. According to the producer of Stefan Band, Farid Rizal, Stefan Band bring new work and strong musical concept and has good musical knowledge. Not only popularity and financial success, the band also hopes to give education in their music. This gives fresh wind for Indonesian music industry. Stefan's producer said at least there are two ear-catchy songs in the band's album, namely Jangan Sesali or No Regret and Jalanku Masih Panjang or I Still Have a Long Journey. Voi listener, here is Jalanku Masih Panjang sung by Stefan Band.
Thank you.
tentang semua impian yang kini jadi kenangan. Tak mungkin ku selalu bersedih karenamu. Ku akan lupakanmu demi masa depan.
Listener, that was Jalanku Masih Panjang, sung by Stefan Band. In the songs entitled Jangan Sesali and Jalanku Masih Panjang, Ringo relies on falsetto technique to produce its unique vocal character and to strengthen Eric behind the keyboard's ivories, which cannot be separated from Krishna Balagita as the music director. Ringo, who is the aspirator of Stefan's songs, hoped, nevertheless, this is their first step, and they are proud that their work can be well appreciated. They hope their music can be accepted by Indonesian music lovers. Well, boy listener, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs from Stefan Band, entitled Ku Harus Merelakanmu or I Should Let You Go, and Pengantin Impian. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Selamat tinggal.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.